There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Ravens have won three consecutive games, and they do it on the road. And Lamar Jackson goes to 9-1 against the Bengals.
I'm just so proud of Justin. That's not an easy kick by any stretch, and he drilled it. You know, you saw later, not an easy kick. A lot of wind up there, and protection was outstanding. Proud of our guys for getting us in field goal range. I'm proud of the defense at the end for getting that stop at the end of overtime to keep them backed up at the edge of field goal range, making the kick tougher. That was a big deal at that point.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, as you would expect, pretty happy and proud after his team wins one on the road, coming from behind to do so. 41-38, Justin Tucker kicks a 56-yarder with a minute 35 left in the fourth quarter to tie it, and then a 24-yarder to win it. After Cincinnati had missed a field goal themselves. So they go on the road, the Ravens, and look, it looked like I thought early on they were going to, okay, they marched down the field, scored on their first drive, and then Cincy answered, and things got a little dopey there in the second quarter, giving up a big play right before halftime, and then it was all about the fireworks and some fun. You like offense, you certainly like the second half yesterday.
Yeah, the second half was awesome. There was over 500 total yards in the second half by both teams combined. So, I mean, it was exciting. It was back and forth. It was two great quarterbacks making great plays. I mean, Burrow was like right. He had one bad throw, and in reality, his slant route throw wasn't that bad. But Chase has got to beat the corner to the inside. But it was a hell of a play by Marlon Humphrey, and the defense finally made a play, which they had to because it was over. I mean, it was going to be over because they were well in field goal range right there.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's get out to the phones, have some NFL lunch together, shall we? Let's go to Mount Washington. It is Bruce. Bruce, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
How you doing, buddy?
Listen, my concern is Nate Wiggins' use in the game yesterday. Now, just to get back, last week against Buffalo, Wiggins was on the field for 51 snaps, 86% of the snaps. And admittedly, the Bengals have slightly better receiving core than Buffalo. And yet yesterday, Wiggins was on the field for only 31 snaps or 31%. It makes absolutely zero sense. In fact, Nate Wiggins probably made one of the more impactful plays in the whole game, because after Matt Ibike sacked Burrow late in the game when all they needed is a field goal to go down and win in regulation, second and 17, Wiggins makes a great play to break up a pass to T. Higgins. If they complete that pass, it's third and five. They're going to try to score at that point. And because he made that play, they just ran the clock out. It makes no sense. I'd love somebody to ask Harbaugh today or Zach Gore on Thursday, what in the world is going on with Nate Wiggins' juice? He should be on the field more.
Well, I think the issue was he was a little handsy And he's that's the way he is. He likes to grab. And you can't grab in the NFL. He should have got a penalty on the one.
He was Higgins was looking for the flag, too.
Oh, no doubt. And Burrow's like, what the hell? You know, where's the flag? And then once he got beat on that double move down about 40 yards or something, he was out after that. But then they brought him back, you know, like the caller just said, where he made that play. But they probably took him out, gave him a little breather, probably coached him up a little bit on the sidelines. But, you know, if he's a penalty waiting to happen and they knew it, then why not take him out? I mean, you've got other guys. The drop-off's not that great. What they were doing was they were putting Ardarius Washington on the inside and Humphrey on the outside is what they did.
Let's get back to the phones. Go to New Jersey, bring in Mitch. Mitch, you're on the fan. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, Benny, Bob? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Mitch. Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of hole in college football, by the way. The Big Ten officials, refs, is as bad as the Pac-12. Yeah, I digress. That was some game yesterday. I mean, I think the only way Carl gets an MVP is going to have to pass up 7,000 yards because they're not going to have a winning record. But if Lamar, and he's going against his protege, that's going to be a great game next year. I think he's going to be the rookie of the year, by the way, with Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the third MVP. How many players have had the third, three MVPs by the time it's third? You got to say this guy's a Hall of Fame for sure. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Look, Caleb Williams starting to get it together
a little bit
for Chicago, but Jaden Daniels has Washington in first place in a division that some people thought they would finish last in. And there's still a lot of football left to be played, but they come into Baltimore with a little bit of momentum. He's playing with a great confidence level. McLaurin's become a part of their offense. Brian Robinson's running the ball with great effectiveness. He had a couple TDs yesterday. Grant didn't have a ton of yardage. It's not going to be an easy game for Baltimore, but their defense can be challenged. Cleveland obviously didn't do much of it yesterday.
No. So it's going to be it's going to be an interesting. I can't wait to watch the film of Washington and kind of see what they are and who they are and how they play. The quarterback is playing exceptionally well. And, you know, like yesterday in the game, Ravens pass rushers didn't put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So is that going to make a difference? And what's the Washington's O-line look like and see if these pass rushers? I think Ngakoue is going to get better and better each week. And I think he's going to get more and more reps, Bob. And I think before it's all said and done, he's going to help them.
And by the way, the NFL and the networks, NBC especially, thought so much of this matchup. This was before yesterday.
Yeah.
They wanted to flex it to Sunday Night Football, but CBS protected it. So it's still a 1 o'clock kickoff
at M&T
Banks. Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm with you on that. Them light games. Hey, come on. But we'll see. Ravens still have plenty of those left to be played here. We have time for another call. Nolan, let's go to Randallstown, bringing Corey. Corey, you're on the fan. What's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing and how y'all been?
All right, Corey.
Hey, I still got y'all gift. I haven't forgot about y'all. I still got y'all gift. But I just want to say, I want to leave a little message for Q. It's a surprise, guys. A surprise.
Okay. They're the best kind.
I just want to leave a message for Q. Jets, Jets, Jets.
J-E-T-S.
Yes.
I think we'll be hearing from Q today. Just call it.
If the Yankees win today, then we may hear from Q tomorrow.
Yeah, he's probably in hibernation right now. But I want to talk about the game yesterday. Great game, but we need to do something about that secondary. That secondary need some.
They had some communication issues again towards the end, and then Marlon Humphrey screwed up the one right before the half. That was a screw up there. But I mean, here's the thing about it is it wasn't like they were running open. They got great receivers, and give them some credit. Their receivers made plays.
Yeah,
Stevens was right on his guy. You know, I mean, he was tackling them as he was catching it, and so were a bunch of the others. But Chase and Higgins, they're good.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, man. They need some Lester Hayes training, man, bumping.
Yeah, get that glue.
Bump off that line, you know, take him off that mark, you know, and slow him down a little bit or something.
Yeah. No,
Lester,
I
get
I
on
disagree.
You. Glue aside. You come off the line of scrimmage, you're getting jammed right out of the gate. But hey, look, where were the safeties yesterday?
Well,
Marcus Williams, Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, I thought Kyle Hamilton in the first half, Bob, he was best player on the field. Hamilton was all over the place in that first half. You know, blitzing and he was kind of a tackling machine in the first half.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will come back, take some calls. If you want to get in, now's your chance at 410-583-1057. And we're going to hear from John Harbaugh, Zay Flowers, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow himself as they drop the Bengals to 1-4. Then we're going to go around the AFC North. A couple of division games impacting the standings outside of Baltimore, Cincinnati.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
At yesterday's game, maybe preview Commanders a little bit. I think right now the Ravens are in a different league than everybody else in the division.
Oh, yes.
At this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland, Bob, what they're known for is their defense, and they're not good there. They're known for running the football. They're not good there. And Joko was like a Pro Bowl player last year with Flacco, and now, you know, he's non-existent. So it's a bad situation. The owner, you know, I mean, owners do the.
Was it Haslam?
Haslam. Jimmy Haslam had to have him. And be careful what you wish for. And they got him. And he doesn't fit the offense. The offensive scheme that they have, it doesn't work for him. And because it was struggling, they were struggling. He gets hurt. Boom, Flacco comes in. Woo, woo. You know, they're running Stefanski's offense. They're, you know, they're doing great. Go to the playoffs. And now they're back to, and the players know. That's why they're shutting it down.
Yeah, playoff team last year, as Vinny said.
Yep.
But, and we'll talk more about it Wednesday when we get all our reporters in from around the division. You say shut it down. You think Watson's respected in that locker room? Or they're just like, man, this guy's not, he doesn't want to, what do you say? I'm not a running quarterback, kind of went against offensive plot. Now, it's granted Joe Flacco is not exactly Mr. Mobility, but seems like a team-oriented guy, where Deshaun Watson, when he was at Clemson and at Houston, he seemed pretty nimble with the football in his hands there.
What would be of interest to know, Bob, is, like, does the owner give Watson preferential treatment? Has he, and you know, does he go out of his way? Kind of like Dan Snyder did with a defensive tackle. You know.
Which one?
Albert Haynesworth.
Oh, Haynesworth.
Yeah, because he let him come to his office and hang out and do. He can't do that because the other players and really the coaches, because all you're doing is you're taking away the coach's authority. And if he's letting them do that, Stefanski's got no authority then, you know, because the quarterback's going to get to do what he wants, and the players know that. I'm guessing that, and we could ask when we go around the thing to the Cleveland writer and ask him what the locker room's like.
Can't be ideal.
No.
1-4 and getting blown out yesterday. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. They're going to want to hear from John Harbaugh and others. Tom in Ellicott City. Tom, what's up?
Hello.
Hey, Tom.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Great. Three things I wanted to point out. Number one, that punt return, that punt receiving guy who let that ball fall.
Kylan Wallace?
Late in the first half. That I was just so atrocious, in my opinion, and it just the ripple effect from that.
Yep.
Not only did it lead to the safety, it also led to them, you know, the defense having a quick play with a lot less rest. They're much more tired. Cincinnati goes for a 2-point conversion because of that, and it just, again, the ripple effect from that was just bad. And I'm surprised Mike Preston gave the special teams the grade he gave him, because that was really bad. The second thing, I like the way Lamar Jackson took ownership for that fumble in overtime. He really acted like a man, and even in the face of victory, he realizes that we had to catch a major break in order to get that win, and most teams aren't going to give you that break. But he was, in spite of all the great stuff he did to get him to that point, he took full ownership for that.
Yeah, he sounded like they lost the game in post game.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I did like that. Finally, I just want to – that face mask hold on that did not get called – when Mark Andrews had it.
Yep.
You know, we the fans, we saw a face mask call get made against us, against the Raiders, when the guy didn't even touch the face mask. Now our guy gets pulled up by the face mask when we're behind.
Almost takes his helmet off.
And the only thing I'm suggesting is, you know, maybe the league should allow the line judge, or maybe even the chain gang, allow the referees to consult those guys. Kind of like the way an NHL ref can consult the linesman if they saw something egregious that they missed that they didn't miss, and they can call it, because that shouldn't get missed. If you're gonna call a phantom face mask against us, you got to call the ones that actually happened.
Well, if they just allowed replay on that, the Ravens would have had Matabike'd have another sack, and they'd have had 15 more yards there
to the face mask. And you saw Andrews, even as the play was still going on, he's like, "He grabbed my face mask."
Yeah,
but the roughing the passer on Matabike, another one, even Sterator is like, that's iffy,
and especially in that time, you know, I mean, if you got an iffy one, come on, ref. Let them play.
But, you know, sometimes they got to feel part of the game as well. But John Harbaugh, after the win, let's stress. Ravens are 3-2. They won 3 in a row. They're putting up points at the yin-yang. Win it at Cincinnati. Lamar 9-1 against the Bengals. Here's John Harbaugh talking about Lamar, the team, and all the awesomeness that went along with it.
It speaks for itself. You know, I never cease to be amazed, but I'm always amazed. You know, and I just think so much of him. I think so much of his work ethic, and then just the way he plays the game. It's unparalleled. You know, he made plays, got himself out of trouble, got the ball thrown away. So many unsung plays where he saved us lost yardage situations, and came through. So many plays where he moved around and found guys like Zay Flowers who just stepped up here that were working so hard. I mean, I tell you, our guys are in shape, man. It was hot. It was. We were in no huddle, and our guys continued to take advantage of the opportunity of fatigue.
Yeah, they did. Offensively, they did that. And they wore them down, which was a big thing. The receivers never looked like they got exhausted. The only guy who looked exhausted, and I felt sorry for him, was Kyle Hamilton when he intercepted the one on that penalty and ran all
over. Well, how about Gesicki chasing him the whole time?
Yeah.
Who the pass was intended.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of impressive, but they said it was like 93 or 84 degrees.
I thought on that play, since you brought it up, when Gesicki got him, I thought he hurt his knee when he got tackled. because he kind of laid there for a little while. Fortunately, he was just gassed because all that running, because he landed knee first on that play. Nolan, real quick, we asked Childs this earlier. You think about the Lamar plays, and when we're watching the Lamar on NFL Network, the Football Life, of all the plays he's made, where's this? To me, the best one is still the spinning running touchdown against the Bengals during the first MVP when the Ravens won 12 in a row, et cetera, et cetera. He was just incredible, outstanding, et cetera. But what about yesterday? Where's that one rating for you? Recency bias, I guess, probably.
I was going to say it might not even be the best play that Kevin Harlan was on the call for. It seems like every time Lamar's got a dazzling play, Kevin Harlan finds himself behind the mic. Yesterday was up there. It's sort of in the same vein as the Jaguars game last year, where he looked like he was going to get sacked, gets out of it, chucks up the Hail Mary for Isaiah Likely. Mm-hmm. So Isaiah Likely on both of them. How about that? But, man, I mean, every year, at least one, he's going to give you at least one play that would go down as a lot of players' like signature career-defining play. He gives you at least one every season.
And the thing about it is with Likely, I mean, Lamar threw it perfect because he threw it high, and the only person that could get the ball would have been Likely. And Likely did a hell of a job to go up and high point that ball and go catch it. It was a spectacular play.
But it doesn't have to be that spectacular if he doesn't drop the snap, so we got to point that one out.
Maybe then they don't get a touchdown.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, they might be kicking a field goal or that drive. We'll come back here for Zay Flowers, here from Lamar himself and Joe Burrow after their latest loss. Cincinnati, they dropped a 1-4 on the year. So needless to say, the margin for error there with the Bengals is pretty slim. We'll come back, but we're going to do the AFC North. We're going to want to go around the division. Ravens are now in first place because of other games that took place, and you're going to hear about him next here on The Fan.
Bengals.
Chase to the end zone. That's a Bengal touchdown.
Browns.
Toss down. Miles Garrett gets home.
Steelers.
Pressure ball out. Picked up. Walk. Touchdown Steelers.
Ravens.
Lamar winding up. Going deep for Bateman. He's got it.
The toughest division in football. Notes from the North. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Well, as we've been talking about all day long, 41-38 Ravens over the Cincinnati Bengals in overtime. Justin Tucker, 56-yard field goal, sets it up. Then the Ravens get a break as Cincinnati misses a potential game winner as the drop snap there. Punter couldn't get the ball down in time. And then Justin Tucker, after a Derrick Henry run, 24-yarder, and that was it. Ravens get out of Cincinnati with their third consecutive win. Lamar Jackson, 4 touchdowns in the win. Derrick Henry, 92 yards and a TD. Joe Burrow, outstanding for Cincinnati, 30 of 39, 5 touchdowns. Did throw a big pick as the Ravens got a defensive snap or stop. So the Ravens win. There you go. Elsewhere, after a long weather delay, Sunday Night Football up in Pittsburgh, it was Dallas against the Steelers and Dak Prescott with some fourth quarter magic for the Cowboys.
Prescott throws, crossing, it's caught for the touchdown! It's Tolbert! Stays in the game and grabs it for the score!
Jalen Tolbert in the closing seconds from Dak Prescott as Dallas stuns the Steelers 20-17. Dak Prescott 29 of 42, 352 yards in the air. Did throw two picks, but two touchdowns, both in the fourth quarter. Justin Fields, 15 of 27, 131 yards, two touchdowns, no picks there. Steelers rush for less than 100 yards, 92. And then Dallas, I guess for them, this is an offensive running game explosion. They rush for 109, but the Steelers, they lose at home. Second consecutive loss as Dallas now 3-0 on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, Dallas can't win at home, but they can win on the road. With Pittsburgh, I just think it's hard for – it looks like it's hard for them to get points and move the football. That's what it looks like. Our boy Patrick Queen, Bobby, had 9 tackles in the game.
Hey, good for Patrick Queen. Yep. He got paid and earning that dough earlier in the afternoon right down the road here in Landover, Maryland. It was the Commanders taking on the Cleveland Browns, and the brutal start to the season continues for Cleveland.
on the ground again. It's an easy six. Robinson one more time.
Fox on the call. Brian Robinson only rushed for 18 yards, seven carries, but two of those carries turned into touchdowns as the Commanders handle the Cleveland Browns with relative ease, 34-13. They were up 24-3 at halftime. Jaden Daniels, 14 of 25, 238, a touchdown and a pick, was sacked three times. Did lead Washington in rushing with 82 yards, but Washington got after Deshaun Watson. Seven sacks, 11 quarterback hits. Deshaun Watson, not an ideal day. Not only did he get sacked seven times, 15 of 28, 125 yards, only 4.5 per attempt. Did throw a touchdown pass, but kind of a window dressing situation there as the Browns continue to really be mediocre. They're not mediocre. They're bad. They're one of the worst teams in football right now.
Oh, well, yeah. When we do the Feeble Five tomorrow, we'll probably hear their name. Now, Bob, I don't think Myles Garrett didn't play yesterday. Doesn't look like for Cleveland. He wasn't on the stat sheet, so if he did play, he had no tackles, no sacks, no anything. The Browns are done. I think they're done. You know, and if I was coaching there, I mean, you'd be like, damn, can I have another job?
Now, schedule for week six in the NFL. There is a game tonight, as we've talked about, New Orleans, Kansas City. You can hear it on The Fan. Thursday night, 49ers at Seattle. First place on the line. Seattle getting three at home, as they've lost two in a row after a 3-0 start. And San Francisco decimated by injuries, but it's a tough L nonetheless against Arizona. At home, too? Come on.
Yeah, and Bob, especially when, you know, you're kicking a field goal to tie it, and you get a block, and they take it back for a touchdown. I mean, you know, and you at home, you're playing the Giants. You traveled all the way across the country. Yeah, that one for Mike McDonald, that one's stinging. Probably didn't sleep all night.
In London, coming up Sunday, 9:30 Eastern time, Jacksonville taking on the Bears. Chicago, 2.5-point favorites in that one. Jacksonville picked up their first win of the season. Chicago, 3-2 early on. The aforementioned Cardinals, they're at Green Bay. Packers are 5.5-point favorites. Fighting Flacco's, the Colts are at Tennessee, and they're favored. 1-point favorites against the Titans. And this one, Houston's at New England. Texans -7. Tampa is at New Orleans. Big game there in that division, the South. Saints -2. Right now they're 2-2 with a game to come up in a few. Cleveland, we mentioned them. They're at Philadelphia. Eagles 8.5-point favorites. Pretty hefty line there for Philadelphia team that's been underwhelming themselves at time here. 2024. Commanders at Baltimore, Ravens 6.5-point favorites. 4 o'clock and later games. Chargers at the Broncos. Hey, Denver, hey, they're playing better football. Getting no respect. They're Rodney Dangerfielding it. Chargers -3 at Mile High, whatever the hell they're calling that stadium. Pittsburgh's at the Raiders. Pittsburgh -3. Lions at Dallas. Detroit -3.5. Okay. Should be a high scoring game. 52.5 is the over under there. Atlanta at Carolina. Falcons -6, it looks like. And then next Sunday night, Cincinnati's at the Giants. Bengals -3.5. Needless to say, Cincinnati, this is a must-win game for the Bengals.
Oh, they got to – yeah, because the Giants can't match up scoring points with them. And if they show up and score their, you know, 20-some points, they'll win that game. Bob, going back to Tampa at New Orleans, I like that a lot for – the Ravens, because the Ravens play after Washington, they play Tampa. They go to Tampa. Tampa's playing a division game on the road, which, you know, is going to be a tough physical game
and,
there.
And they have to leave early, unfortunately, because it looks like weather's
they're going to be there all week. So that's a plus. You know, Ravens are at home. Tampa's going to be on the road all week. Tough physical game. Probably get some guys banged up in that one. Tampa will.
And next Monday night, it is Buffalo, losers of two in a row at the Jets. Losers of two in a row, Buffalo -3.
Yeah, and if the Jets win, Bob, they're in first place at 3-3.
Buys next week, Kansas City, the Rams, Dolphins, and the undefeated Minnesota Vikings. That's your schedule of games coming up for week 6. We'll come back, get a phone call in here at 410-583-1057. Then a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2. It's Vinny and Haney and Nolan here on The Fan. Woo, we're there already. Holy mackerel. Time is a flying for sure. But let's get a couple calls in before we get to Nolan's funhouse. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, what's up?
Happy Monday, fellas. How y'all doing?
Wonderful. Right.
Hey, my first question to y'all is, I'm looking forward to this Commanders game, but has there ever been a MVP rookie quarterback in the NFL?
I don't think so.
Does the NFL have rookie of the year? Because, you know, they always have offensive player, defensive player. But do they have a Rookie of the Year award, anything like that?
Yeah, one for each position.
Offense and defense, yeah.
Okay,
I think, RG3 was.
Okay.
Suggs was Defensive Rookie of the Year.
As far as MVP, the only rookie to win it looks like Jim Brown back in 57.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you, my man. Jim Brown, that's how I would go with it. Because, you know, talking heads out there talking about this Daniels kid. Not only could he be Rookie of the Year, but he's looking like a MVP. But I'm saying, have you ever seen a quarterback besides him? I got one that is coming to the league, and you watch what he's done in college. And when he came in the league, he looked like the truth. To me, it was Dan Marino. Can y'all say y'all seen any other quarterback besides Dan Marino and Daniels coming to the league as a rookie and, like, just show out?
Andrew Luck took a team that was terrible to the playoffs his rookie year, but Elway stunk. You know what I mean?
Houston's quarterback? He took
him C.J. Stroud.
Last year.
Recency bias.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. That's all I called you. I want these other people out here to hear other names instead of just sticking to this one person. Y'all have a great day, brother.
Yeah. There's Joe and Woodbury. So, yes, C.J. Stroud was a beast last year. They got better as the year went on.
And won a playoff game, right?
Yes, he did. Beat Cleveland, fighting Flacco. Joe Flacco did a lot of things. Nolan, we have time for a call. Let's go to Darren in D.C. Darren, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Long time, guys.
Yeah, where have you been, Darren?
Working and traveling, crisscrossing the country. But with that said, the Ravens won, obviously, the dynamic play of Lamar Jackson, in spite of what seems to be now a weekly gaffe from John Harbaugh. I can't take it anymore. John is a future Hall of Fame coach. He will be a natural in broadcasting. I hope to God they win it this year so he can retire, because he's dropping the ball. I'm sorry. I'll say this, though. Defensively, and Vinny, you can talk about this once I'm dropped. Marcus Williams, to me, is the biggest liability on that defense. And maybe you see more of the Washington kid at safety. I don't know what else to do there. Outside of that, it's Washington week. You know, a lot of chatter going on down here. A lot of people are pulling up on me as confident as they've been since probably 1991. They're coming, but as I told them, they're going to find out that it's a whole lot easier jumping on than it is jumping off. That's a Ric Flair saying. Take care, guys.
Darren in D.C., 1991, last time the then Redskins won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a long time, a lot of suckage since then for that organization, but maybe they do have their savior in Jaden Daniels here.
Yeah, I'm anxious to watch Washington's film, because I haven't really watched any of their games or anything, so I don't really know yet.
All right, let's get to that funhouse, Nolan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, let's get things started with this texter here who says, in a way, it was refreshing to see the Ravens win a game like that. For years, it's felt like they could steamroll anyone with Lamar, but in those rare instances where they find themselves playing from behind, it always felt like they were incapable of coming back from double digits. Of course, you need a little bit of luck along the way. That's the NFL. Great win for the Ravens.
No doubt. And the thing about it was, they probably never have had like a group of pass catchers like they've had. You know, like in 19, they were throwing to Andrews pretty much all the time. Now, you had like five or six guys that made really good plays throughout and made great catches. So, I mean, you had three tight ends. You know, you had four receivers. So, I think that was comforting.
And the tight end conversation is going to be ongoing throughout the season, but this will be interesting for the Ravens film side of things. Just watching on TV live, it felt like to me that Kohler and Likely were running two tight end sets together early in that game. Andrew's not even on the field. So it's not like he's getting beat out by just one other guy on the field. Both of the guys behind him in the depth chart running two tight end sets, he's not a part of the equation.
Well, plus, don't forget about, you know, Ricard. Ricard's getting a lot more reps. You know, well, Andrews is not a good blocker, but Likely's not a great blocker either, but he's a better blocker in space. And Kolar's, that's his job. But, you know, on that play that Kohler caught where he went down the field, you know who was running a wheel route on the side was Ricard, and he was wide open too.
That was a hell of a throw from Lamar, by the way. Hit him right in stride.
Yes.
Speaking of the defense here, this texter says, can somebody explain to me why cornerbacks and safety these days don't seem to be trained to turn around and look for the ball? I'm tired of so many passes being dropped right into the receiver's hands just because a cornerback doesn't know where the ball is. It happens all the time around the NFL.
Well, it happens with Stevens all the time. I mean, that, it is what it is, and it's going to continue to happen. They took that deep shot early at him, and he locked out. Because he didn't see it, you know, and then he just swung his hands up there and it knocked it out.
Howard in Baltimore says this was the best, quote, worst game played by the Ravens since they allowed Miami to come back from a 21-point deficit a few years ago. While I'm certainly celebrating the win, not happy with what happened along the way. Harbaugh calling the timeout on third down. The misplaying of the punt that leads to the safety. Thank you to Lamar and Humphrey. No thank you to Harbaugh and Zach Orr.
Well, there was some issues there, but there was more pluses than there was minuses. And to me, like, if you're looking at it, okay, defensively, played against great receivers, and they made some plays, and we didn't, you know, we missed some tackles, but, you know, they're going to make some plays too. They're great players. But the thing that, you know, if I'm Harbs and I'm looking for, how about my offense, man? You know, my offense. We get in those types of, because in the past, we get down 10, they acted like, they panicked and acted like they were down three scores. How many times have we talked about that?
Usually in a playoff game.
Right. So, you know, now I think you're feeling a little better about things. Offensively, they're the number one ranked team in the offense now the whole season so far.
And one more thought here on Zach Orr before we wrap things up. This texter says they need to take a long look at their defensive coordinator, Zach Orr. There's been no big change on the defense except him as coordinator, and they look nothing like last year's unit. Personnel almost identical, only change the coordinator.
Yeah, and he was trying a lot of stuff, but they couldn't get to the quarterback. You know, the ball would come out quick, and they'd play man coverage. They'd run those slant routes, and then they're trying to disguise, and then Roquan can't get back to his drop spot fast enough, and they get a touchdown or they get a completion. So, yeah, they've got some things to figure out defensively. Offensively, you know, they're going to keep stacking those kind of things. And those guys, they're walking out with puffed chests right now because they're doing so well offensively. But, yeah, defensively, yeah.
To Howard's point, this is one of those rare occasions where your team wins, but still enough went wrong that you can complain about something. So how's that sound? Ravens at first place, can't complain about that. It's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow with Turn It Up Tuesday Inside Access coming up next. Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.